Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is. Well, it's Friday. It's frickin' Friday. Another frickin' week. Frickin' weekend's coming up. And I'm frickin' ecstatic when I consider the possibilities. It's also the 23rd day of June, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 72 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 89 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And it might make it. It's a nice summer day, that's all you can say. And can't complain about the heat when you complained about the cold all winter, and I don't aim to. That being said, let's see here what we're going to jump into. Oh, well, I guess we could just pick up where we left off yesterday. Carrier will move jobs to Mexico, despite Trump's promise to keep them in Indiana. And we're going to get into that as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
If you had purchased $100 of Bitcoin in 2010, today you'd have $2,600,000.
While that sinks in, you now have a huge cryptocurrency opportunity trading at a guaranteed 7 cents per coin. Procoin, a coin publicly traded in the open market, easily converted to cash, available in 60 countries, and Procoin is the only cryptocurrency offering coin-back rewards for consumers and merchants. Take action by June 30th at procoincurrency.net. That's procoincurrency.net.
Deadline for 7 cent guarantee is June 30th.
Bringing you The Word from the Trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
All righty, more of the revealing of the con of Trump. Carrier will move jobs to Mexico, despite Trump's promise to keep them in Indiana. This is from Reason, sent in by Jim for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Croniest-in-chief, I love that, croniest-in-chief Donald Trump promised in December that he would do whatever was necessary to keep Carrier and HVAC, HVAC manufacturer from laying off employees at an Indiana factory and shifting those jobs to Mexico. On Thursday, Carrier announced it will lay off 600 workers in Indiana and shift those jobs to Mexico. While the decision is understandably devastating for the people who will lose their jobs, it's heartening to know that a lot of them voted for him, too. It's heartening to know that the government's influence over the economy does not extend so far that the president can point his finger and tell CEOs how high to jump. And, you know, that's really irrelevant. I don't know who wrote this, but they have kind of a weird slant on it, in my opinion. Before he had even been sworn into office, Trump promised about $7 million in economic incentives, and that made me sick. I mean, you're going to pay him to stay here. I guess you're paying for the jobs. That sounds like communism. Economic incentive to Carrier to in return for keeping about 1,100 jobs at the company's Indiana facility. Trump also announced that Carrier was making a $16 million investment in upgrades at its Indiana facility. I love this. Those upgrades, the president-elect promised, would result in more jobs in the future. And you can believe me, because look at the hair. I love that. But as it stands today, the jobs are still leaving. Robert James, president of United Steelworkers Local 1999, told CNBC, nothing has stopped. CNBC reported Thursday that Carrier would make the first round of cuts, 338 jobs in mid-July, and another 290 cuts in December. The $16 million in upgrades, this is the best part. You want to know how these people really work, how the billionaires work at the top? The $16 million in upgrades Carrier had promised will be used to automate sections of the factory, likely resulting in a further reduction in the number of workers needed to run the plant. Woohoo! Go Trump. Carrier has little reason to stay. As CNBC points out, the company generated more than $57 billion in revenue last year. The promise of a paltry $7 million over 10 years to stay in an outdated facility with high labor costs was not much of an incentive. How about we throw your asses out of here and you have no access to our resources? Because that's really what it's all about. His access to the raw resources. David Henderson broke down the details of the Carrier deal in a cover story for Reason earlier this year. The tax credit amounts to $700 per job per year. Is that enough on its own to keep Carrier from moving the jobs? It seems unlikely. Companies don't relocate factories on a whim. The firm would have expected significant and lasting gains from the move. In fact, according to a Washington Post story, Carrier had claimed that its move to Mexico would have saved $65 million per year. That's two orders of magnitude more than the new tax credit. I'm not privy to Carrier's reasoning here, but it's safe to guess that one of three things happened. Either Trump has become so politically toxic that breaking a promise made to a president or to a president doesn't matter anymore and might actually reflect favorably on Carrier in some quarters, or the company never really planned to keep those jobs here and merely used Trump's willingness to grandstand. No, it's none of that shit, and I don't like the way that these people from Reason are reasoning here. They're all billionaires. It's all been a con job to get them in control, in the hold of the reins of power, so that they can finish us off. You know, I've been watching this thing on the healthcare, the big healthcare debate. And what they're talking, you know, what I mean, it's so plain and obvious what they're really doing here amongst themselves and then looking down at us. You know, in the first place, you look at your government. Now, they got the best healthcare money can buy for your employees. There's no, I mean, they don't have to jump through no hoops. I mean, they have private doctors, hell, coming to their mansions to take care of them. And so they're going to get together and debate what the goyim, you know, the peasants, the peons, the coolies, what healthcare you're going to have through their communist socialist system where they're taking all your wealth from your resources, supposedly doing what's best for you because, hell, they're smarter than you are, don't you know? But when it all comes down to brass tacks, what you had here is just exactly what we told you had here. You had the billionaires, the good old boy, Masonic dirty church cabal, who got their guy into, but, you know, even, it's even kind of a, a push and shove at an international level, because to say that Trump isn't sucking communist ass and Zionist ass above and beyond the people who put him there. I mean, he's looking at his young son Barron being a true Barron and a true aristocracy in this country at this point in the ballgame. Let's see, where were we here? Trump's willingness to graduate to score a bunch of free advertising dutifully. No, it wasn't about advertising. This was about getting their boy into office. Think about it. The idea that the Republicans, the Democrats, this whole lie of the left-right paradigm that anybody wanted any of them for any reason. It's shining now. You had the Democrats who came out in your last primaries, and Hillary Clinton's a shoe-in, and she's a shoe-in for hell. She's already president, don't you know? We're just going through the formalities of this election, and we told you at that time that she couldn't have no more support than the Republican on the other side. You remember Jeb Bush? Now, he was supposed to come in, just like Hillary, he was supposed to come in a 46% presumptive winner before we even opened the race. Or the production, what am I saying? 46% and never made over 6%, down to 3%, and that was the reality of, it's gotten so bad they couldn't tell a lie no bigger than that. And to think it was any different on the other side of the coin, they tried to act like, well, Hillary got a zillion votes and she really won the popular vote. But then you look around and what's been happening to the so-called Democratic Party, it's fell apart because, they got like 3 governorships and all that. But hey, everybody support. Everybody loves both of these bunches, but neither one of them has shit. And I've noticed that the camera angles have centered in. Now they're real small camera angles again. No big crowds to show because people have figured this shit out. And the bottom line is both of them together can't even, at this point, I don't believe could even make up 25% of the population as far as the people that would go along with their shit. Or perhaps Carrier is negotiating against Trump for an even bigger deal. Let's keep watching that wiper. Let's keep spinning around and think, is this really relevant to a people who have been enslaved? But, you'll hear. Henry, yes, go ahead.
You know what? When you brought up that left-right paradigm, who the first name that popped in my head was that old treasonous SOB Alex Jones. If I see that guy, I would love to spit in that guy and just kick his ass all the way up and down the street, man. Because, when I first woke up, he was one of the first people I started listening to. And he was one of them, that left-right paradigm, they try to get us into these camps with left-right Democrat, but they're all on the same team. But this SOB team, you go out there, vote for Trump. I hate that guy, man. I'm sorry, I know that's not part of your conversation, but that right there just popped inside my head. I really do hate that guy. And if I see him, I'll scowl up in his face and put my size 13 all up his backside, dog. I really would.
Well, I can't blame you. You can say, people will say that, Alex Jones has brought a lot of people that, that have ended up here, have started out there.
Yeah, I was one of them, yeah.
Yeah. But, and he, like the documentaries and stuff that were put out in the early days, it did, there was a lot of information. But then you got, you look at that, a spoonful of sugar with a drop of poison in it. Because, all of the people that are now, they've locked into that, just back into the right paradigm. You're right. He preached it for 15 years, and then now all of a sudden he's the right paradigm. It's the right one. He's still alternative news. No, he's mainstream. And I think people are figuring it out. When you just look at the numbers, he'll come on there and brag about, Republicans got these, all of these different houses. Yeah, but they only got them with 25% of the vote. The 75% of the people out there, they're not buying this shit, man. They just aren't. And it's caving in on him, and we know it has to eventually. It all has to collapse because the math says it has to. You can run fraud. JD's pointed out 100 times. There's no end to the fraudulent numbers you can put in a computer. But at some point in the ball game, you go to get that egg or that loaf of bread, and you can't get it. The digits won't do it. It won't happen. Nobody will accept it because it's just such a well-known fraud. Regardless, the Carrier deal is further evidence that the government negotiating deals with individual companies is a foolish way to run an economy. The United States, it's an illegal way to run our economy because we're supposed to have free enterprise in this country. But what you have here is cabals. Gangster cabals. International corporate mafia. That's how we describe it. And by jingle, that's what it is. The United States gained more than 138,000 jobs in May. I mean, they tout these numbers, and I seen them touting this when it came out, 138,000 jobs in May. But we, you know, when we've been covering this shit since the 2008 so-called derivatives crash. You know, when everything went to shit, and 100 million Americans lost everything they had and were put out on the street. Now, back when this whole thing started out, and I mean, it just the bottom dropped out. They were telling us that we had to have 300, I remember it, I mean, I have a memory span, quite a bit beyond a head of cabbage. They told us we had to have 350,000 jobs per month just to keep an even keel with what were legally graduated out of our schools and the people coming into our workforce. Now, when they have 138,000, we got full employment in this country with 100 million of our people out of work and 138,000 jobs. Well, and most of those being taken by people getting visas from other countries that we're paying to be educated in our country, as we covered yesterday. And all of the jobs supposedly created in the last 10 years have gone to foreigners inside our borders, working our jobs and not paying any taxes. I mean, if you couldn't sit down, if you had a pencil and a piece of paper and worked out a better plan for completely destroying the most powerful, rich nation on planet Earth. And to think that they've gotten away with it to this extent and people just still sit there and keep watching it, it just blows me away. I swear it does. In a country of 326 million, jobs will come and go by the thousands on any given day. A president can't play whack a mole with every company looking for a better situation somewhere else. See, this has been written by one of these elitist pricks who thinks it's okay. You know what, Carrier? Go to Mexico. Take your whole frickin' operation. Go to Mexico. Hey, wait, we're going to stop you at the border, buddy. Because you're not taking the wealth you made in our country and take it down to enrich Mexico. We're going to put a, man, I say 70% tax on your way out. We're taking 70% of your assets. Get the fuck out. And then you get down to Mexico. Well, you need natural gas from up here? Well, we just shut those lines up because we're not playing that game anymore. You need our raw resources to run your production down there. Well, no, not from here. You better start digging in Mexico. You better get those backwards peons out there with their shovels because you're not going to get the technology that's coming from our people. It's like across this the planet. It's our people. I mean, go ahead, brother.
And then they're going to move it to China once they juke the Mexicans.
Exactly, man. I mean, and it's so blatant. That's the killer. It's like, you know, we're getting charged for like cell phones. It's easiest to look just at the water. You know, the water and the rivers and everything. Once upon a time, back before the fraud, they all belonged to the people. All of the navigable waters in this country belong to the people. So they came along and they said, man, we would need to build some dams. You know, we need the people to pony up the bucks. But it's like we built the, you know, we actually paid to build the railroads and gave them tons of wealth for allowing them to be the people that signed the papers. But we paid for it. From our labor in this country, we paid for it. From our resources, we paid for it. The dams across this country. There was the reclamation project, you know, to get us out of the depression. Everybody gets to go to work. We're going to build dams. That's a real good idea. Dam up that water and get that electricity. And so, you know, we paid to build the dams. Our people built the dams. And we should own the dams. And the electricity being produced, like here where I live, from the dams here, it goes down to Mexico. In Mexico, they pay pennies on the dollar to what we pay up here. Now, we should pay nothing for that. I mean, for the electricity anyway, the surplus, maybe if you sold the surplus that we're not using, you could make a dollar. But you're charging us for electricity from our dams. And now, after 1984, when all the counties and states and everything were just made districts, now we get what the little boy shot at. They run the water out to the corporations to get, like the corporate farmers. We pay for subsidized water to the farms and to the industries, and the people, they always have to pay the top dollar. We're buying our only thing that we actually got out of our dams, besides having our rivers dammed up, was we got to buy electricity at the highest rate of anybody else in the goddamn country and other countries.
Henry,
yeah, go ahead.
Another thing about the hydroelectric dams and projects, I think that they work so well that you're not hearing them in the lexicon. When they talk about green solutions, they're always pushing solar and wind. They're avoiding talking about hydro, which has a big initial cost. But once that initial cost is done, I think the maintenance, as compared to many other systems, is really low. So I think it's so effective that they basically put the brakes on it. And that's why we don't see many more hydroelectric plants.
I think you're absolutely correct.
And that goes for the whole infrastructure, too. And you can thank the Corps of Engineers. I used to work for those bastards.
Yeah, you're exactly correct. That's why right now, like on the Trinity and the Sacramento River, they're wanting to remove all of those dams. Oh, it's for fish and it's the native people so they can have their fishing and stuff. Screw you! They sold it out. I mean, you can go and look at the documents where they were paid off for every bit of it. But now, I got a religious culture that's down there below that water. We want to take those dams out. And the water now belongs to the Indians all over again after you purchase what you'd already conquered. I mean, it's just been one scam after another scam since the inception of this goddamn country. Because in the beginning, people understood that, hey, you know what? I'm the one that went out there and spilled the blood. This country belongs to me. I have a rights in this country. Well, we have to think about these other poor folk over here. And hey, we're so rich, man. You could afford to build dams so that you can give subsidized. Like in California, we subsidize the alfalfa crop. People, you know, are paid. We subsidize through the water to grow the alfalfa crop to fuel the beef industry is what the theory here is, right? So they subsidize the water so that they can grow the alfalfa cheaper. Now they're shipping all the alfalfa over to China and put a big demand on the alfalfa crops to be sent to China, which made the prices actually go up for the farmers and the ranchers. I mean, the ranchers that use the alfalfa here in this country. So what you're doing is subsidizing China through the giveaway of your water. And again, here where I'm living, I'm telling you, there is a concerted effort to take over every source of fresh water in this, where I live, and everywhere around here, all the states. They're right now, that's the one number one push to get control of that fresh water, because the day's going to come. Well, we already seen it. I mean, when I was young, if you'd have told me that I'd ever pay, so go into a store and buy a bottle of water, are you kidding me? I mean, if I might have to get a cup and go into the bathroom and turn the spigot on and get me some water. But to say I would ever pay as much as I'm paying for a pop for a bottle of water, I would have laughed right in your face. But I'm telling you, this is the next big commodity, because there's only so much fresh drinkable water on this planet. And it's just like everything else, you know. It could be like Frank was talking about the hydroelectric, man. They put out in the, where the tides ebb and flow. And they've shown that they can make hydroelectricity that way. But the idea, it's like Tesla. Tesla had the formula to give everybody free energy. That's what the man wanted to do. And that's why he was hounded by the governments. And every time he got something set up and it started working, they raid him and take it and hide it and put it in their vaults. Because the bottom line is, I can't remember where I read it. Might be in secret government, something I read a long time ago. But the if you wanted to be king of the world, what you have to do is you have to be in control of energy, whether it be human energy, electrical energy, whatever kind of energy. If you control the energy, you control the people.
I want to make a point about energy.
Tesla developed all that technology, and then J.P. Morgan said, well, if I can't put a meter on it and it's free, I don't want nothing to do with it.
Amen. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, I want to make a point about alcohol being used as a fuel. When you produce alcohol and then you end up burning it, all of the components that were used to make that alcohol are released back into the environment. The only thing that's lost in the equation is the energy from the sun that the plant used through photosynthesis to combine all of those items together. So it is a completely green and neutral energy source, and it would make a lot of busy work for everybody, and it would put money back in the hands.
Look at nuclear energy. All they're doing is boiling water. Boiling water.
It's way technical. I mean, it is boiling water, but it's real technical boiling water. That's why you got to pay so goddamn much for it. But the thing here is, you know, we talk about the price of gas and the fact that we should be paying about a quarter a gallon, being as we own the goddamn resource. And again, if gas went down to a quarter of a gallon, I mean, they talk about all these things is going to improve the economy, all these little con jobs and contractors. What would improve the economy immediately was 25 cents a gallon gas. Because people would be, I mean, you'd see people doing everything, man. You'd see people, you know, landscaping, transportation jobs, anything. I mean, everybody could become an entrepreneur just with 25 cent a gallon gas because you'd have it's energy. They understand what makes the mechanism move. Energy, be it electrical or like we talk about gas, oil, what might have you. And that's why Tesla could not be allowed to do what he wanted to do, because everybody would have had free energy and you couldn't have enslaved them. We are slaves to the energy, plain and simple. I mean, no matter what you want to do, it comes down to you're going to have to go talk to the electricity man, or you're going to have to talk to the gas man, because you're going to need something to fuel your industry. It's like the building the natural gas lines down to Mexico. Now, why would you do that unless you were planning on moving your industry down there? The son of a bitches in this country who are, you know, because we are existing that, you know, we own everything in this country. You want to do business here. You don't treat us like goddamn slaves. If we're going to work in the country that belongs to us, it's the richest country on planet Earth. We're going to at least live half-ass good on what belongs to us when we should be living like Saudi princes. But there's no end to how much they want to steal. So I'll move my plant down to Mexico, and hey, Izzy, blasting scene, cousin Izzy, I need you to put this proposal up there. Tell them it's a real good idea to run the natural gas lines down to Mexico to fuel the economy there. It's like, you know, all the coal. Shut down the coal industry in the United States. Shut down the coal power plants. And at the same time that China's opening up one every 2 weeks, a new coal power plant, and then ship your coal to China. You move the manufacturing. What it's all coming down to is slave labor. It's coming down to calling you a human resource. And right back to the so-called reason for the Civil War. As you cannot compete with slave labor. What kept us, you know, on at least some kind of footing in dealing with these aristocrats who think that they own everything in this country, including us, was that, you know, we in a way we held the purse strings, because, you know, they had to sell us on, you know, they're going to come in and they're going to take a tons of your coal. Well, if they're going to do it, they're going to fuel an industry here. We're going to be the ones mining it out, and we're getting a chunk. We're getting a cut. But that's exactly what we're looking at today, is they're trying to cut us. Well, they have. They've cut us completely out. That's why you hear them talk about stakeholders. And you and I aren't stakeholders, even though we own the goddamn country. It's the couple of two or three charlatans that are swindling our resources away from us. Now, they're the stakeholders. They're the ones that are going to capitalize on what belongs to us. And not to them that they're stealing from us. Anyways, guys, keep that.
They call us taxpayers.
Yeah, that's what we are too. Bah. Anyways, stay right where you're at, everybody. We're gonna take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Down the road here from me, there's an old holler tree where you lay down a dollar or two. Go on around the bend, come back again, there's a jug full of that good old Mountain Dew.
Oh, they call it that good old Mountain Dew, and them that refuse it are few. I'll hush up my mug if you'll fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
If you had purchased $100 of Bitcoin in 2010, today you'd have $2,600,000.
While that sinks in, you now have a huge cryptocurrency opportunity trading at a guaranteed 7 cents per coin. Procoin, a coin publicly traded in the open market, easily converted to cash, available in 60 countries. And Procoin is the only cryptocurrency offering coin-back rewards for consumers and merchants. Take action by June 30th at procoincurrency.net. That's procoincurrency.net. Deadline for 7 cent guarantee is June 30th.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Head high, throat chest line, freedom scribbled on your sign. Headline, New York Times, standing on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey, just obey your secret safe with the NSA. And God we trust, or the CIA, standing on the edge of a revolution.
Celebrate.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to fromthetrenchesworldreport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 12:39 Pacific time. That, of course, was Nickelback with Edge of Revolution. It's past the edge. We're in free fall. Anyway, I think Frank Face said he wanted to say something about energy before we went to break. Go ahead, Frank. Frank?
Can you hear me, Henry? I'm not exactly set up. If you could give me a minute to switch over the audio and whatnot.
Okay, go for it. Anyways, yeah, energy, the controller of everything. I mean, you think about it, all of the rivers across this country belong to all of us. And you had, like I said, well, like Flea was talking about, the Army Corps of Engineers, you know, making jobs for us and come across the country and put up all these dams. And now, after 1984, they started, these are all privately owned somehow. How did just a handful of people end up owning all of our dams and being able to charge, well, whatever they want for our electricity? It's like this town I live in. The well was put in, paid for by the people. And all of a sudden, one fellow owns, somebody owns the city, what was city property, what belonged to, who had the authority to sell that to anybody? And then turn around and charge us for the water from the well that we put in.
Henry, what I wanted to discuss was my personal experience watching the Army Corps of Engineers botch a project specifically. The Charlotte Pier on Lake Ontario in Rochester, New York, was old and broken up. It gets real cold there, so you got the ice heaving and breaking the concrete. The Army Corps of Engineers screeded like an inch of concrete to resurface this pier, and within 2 years it was broken up. I mean, anybody with half a brain would know that you have to pour like 6 or 8 inches if you're going to be in that type of environment right on the water with all that freezing and heaving, and even that probably wouldn't work. I've worked in construction for about 20 years now, and if it was me, I would have ground everything down with a concrete grinder. I would have went over it with epoxy to even out all the holes and the cracks and whatnot, and then I would have put a product called Vulcum, which is a polyurethane caulking material that's used to seal parking garages to keep them from breaking up, and then you just put sand over the top of it so it's a non-slip surface. So I could have done this under $100,000, and it would have lasted for 50 years.
But you missed the whole point of these agencies. And, you know, it's like our highways out here. The same deal. You know, they'll come through once a year, and we're paying 65 cents a gallon at the goddamn pumps for our roads. And they'll come by once a year, and they'll fill the potholes that last about 2 months. Now, why? Why would they just be? Are they that incompetent? No. Every 25-mile stretch of road is somebody's goddamn career for their whole life. It has to keep effing up so that they can keep fixing it. So that, I mean, the highway department, they have fleets of vehicles, they have buildings, and they have pension plans, they have retirement plans, they have medical plans, and all of these parasites are sucking off the rest of us and setting, and you know, you'll see them, five guys holding up a shovel, we've all seen it, and your roads tore all to hell. It's because you have a group of parasites, the Masonic lodges across this country. These are the people who get all of these. These are just here for them because they have a right to a hunk of this country because, well, they've controlled it. They've been the grassroots controllers from the beginning. And so, you know, like I said, this is their career. They, you know, the road tears up. They go out. You go and you raise hell about the road. You say, man, we're paying heavy taxes. Why? Well, we got to, and they'll tell you. Oh, well, 90% of the money's been embezzled. If you really want and the rest of it's tied up in our pensions and in our equipment. If you want the roads fixed, well, you're going to have to pay more money to have the roads fixed. And they'll tell you this with a straight face and just like, well, okay, we'll pay you more money. It's the crime across this country that is being perpetrated on we the people. Unaddressed. I mean, every once in a while it'll get so bad, somebody will go, wow, man, you know, like with the Veterans Affairs. Let's look at health care. You know, they talk about healthcare. You know, oh, how are we going to fix that healthcare? We pay, they talk about the billions and up to, you know, like hundreds of billions that the insurance companies make off of healthcare every year. Do they provide any healthcare? They don't. What do? They sign contracts and shuffle contracts. That's all in the hell they do. The lion's share of the money that we put out as a people for healthcare goes into the pockets of these goddamn insurance companies who do, they couldn't bandage a cut on your finger. Go ahead.
You hit a nerve with me with the Veterans Affairs. You know, they sit there and they let these vets die, like 200 of them sit in the waiting room down, you know, down in Arizona, you know, and these son of a bitches are billing me, and I'm paying them whatever I need to pay. But what happened to all that money that all these vets that they killed off? Where did it go?
Well, they'll tell you every once in a while. I swear it. You pick any bitch you have, like the roads, the health care, the veterans, anything. They'll tell you every once in a while. They'll come out and go, yeah, you know, it's the Defense Department. You know that Trump's here. We're going to build our big army up and big. It's going to be strong again. It's deteriorated. At the same time, they will tell you that just in 2002, there was before the World Trade Center came down, fell down, and the Pentagon was hit right where the paperwork was. They were looking for $2 trillion stolen by Halliburton. Now they'll tell you it's up to $16 trillion. That, well, it's been embezzled. It's been stolen. Hell, man, if you cheated on $700 on your goddamn taxes, they'd throw your ass into prison. It's like the derivatives, so-called derivatives bubble. Was there fraud committed? Oh, absolutely. Junk bonds were rated as AAA derivatives and put into people's 401ks that they lost everything. It was absolute fraud, criminal fraud. And, well, we can't jail these people. In fact, Steve Mnuchin, the head of Goldman Sachs, well, we got to put him in the Oval Office with President Trump to fix things, don't you know? And they do it. They've been doing it. This is what we were talking about yesterday. This is blatant. There is no arguing the fact. This is a fact. We are being completely abused. You talk about tyrannized. You talk about eating out your substance. It's a done deal. Yeah, go ahead.
You mentioned supply and demand yesterday, and this is how I see it. I see it as the spice trade. If I go to India and I buy a lot of spices, the Indian people are going to say, gee whiz, this stuff must be worth money. We're going to need to start charging more. And then if I bring a ton of spices back to Europe, all the people of Europe are going to say, you have a ton of this stuff. It can't be worth that much. So if I grab very little spices from India, the people of India don't catch on to the value. And if I bring very little spices back to Europe, the Europeans think, oh, gee, this must be rare. I'm going to have to pay a lot for this stuff if I want to get my hands on it. So to me, that's what supply and demand is, artificial scarcity.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, just look at our oil, our crude oil. Now, we had a ban on exports out of this country. We had a glut of oil. They told you they have nowhere else to put it. A glut of diesel, a glut of gasoline. Yet they're charging us $2.69 a gallon at the pump, and they're calling it supply and demand. No, what? And then, you know, the big idea was, you know, we got to lift that ban on so that we can export our oil. Now, you tell me this, man, you have the raw materials here. Do we have people that need jobs? Do we have people that need to work? Well, hell yes, but no, we can ship that out of this country over to China, where they're already putting up the refineries over there. We don't have that many refineries left here. And then they can process it over there with slave labor and come back here and charge us as much as if it was refined in our own goddamn country, because that's the world market price. That was the whole idea of getting us into this global economy. Because in the United States, we had everything we needed. We're not like China. We had the people with the intelligence, because we had been free-thinking people for about 200 years. We had developed the technologies to maximize the use of our resources. And, I mean, our people were sitting in the catbird seat. We had the awesome resources. We didn't need nothing from the world. And we could manufacture for one another and live wonderfully without another person outside of this country. That's why they had it open up to globalism, because that's how they had to steal it from us.
Yeah, don't step down. Go ahead.
The Department of Agriculture is paying people not to grow food so they can keep the prices high.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is not free enterprise, folks. We were guaranteed a free enterprise. If we had free, now think about it. The government was supposed to coin debt-free money. This is how we would borrow our money. We'd borrow our own money from us in gold and silver, and we would produce from our resources that this country was dirt. I mean, richest country on planet Earth, and we would have thrived. We would have thrived. It was set. I mean, you think about it. It was set up for the entrepreneur through free enterprise. Each one of us. I mean, we shouldn't be working for nobody but ourselves unless we just totally chose to because we didn't want to, I don't know, take on the responsibility. I mean, but that's really what they got people into after a couple of world wars. It's just, I mean, it was that I work all week and get my paycheck and I pay my taxes. And that was supposed to be your pride. I live in the freest country on planet Earth with a free enterprise system. And I own my own business. I'm not beholden to, but the whole idea was not to be beholden to the government. That's why it all started out with the 360-acre self-sufficient farm. Now you think of this 360 self-sufficient farm. Those people are completely self-sufficient. They own their own weaponry to defend themselves. So if you go to go against the people in the first place, you're not going to take welfare away from them. You're not going to pull their food away from them. Hell, they got their own food there. You talk about supply lines if you want to fight them. Every farm is a part of the supply line. I supply myself. If we had stuck to the original idea, and that's how we were supposed to stay free, we would never be dependent upon any government. The government was never supposed to be involved in our business. It was up to us to remain free by living under our common law and just, you know, taking advantage of the natural resources of this country for the people of this country. And like I said, 360-acre self-sufficient farms, how are you going to control them? How are you going to even start to think about controlling them? And then you enter the middleman. That's when mass production, we need to get the resources and make the most money as we can, as fast as we can. Why? If the people are doing well and prospering, why do we have to go across this country, try to cut every tree we can as quick as we can, and ship shit out of this country? And then you went from the concept of us building the best, you know, like, I'll put my name on it. Everybody wanted our cars. We manufactured, by God, the best. And it went from making that table to we'll sell them boards. And then it went, hell, we're selling them trees. And all we're really doing is what the Africans are doing, taking out our resources and handing them over to the internationals to take to slave states to manufacture as cheap as they can, bring back their junk here to sell to us to get more of our resources. A perpetuating situation.
It's a corporate Jew elite gang rape.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is.
Henry.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to give my personal experience maybe for the younger listeners. You don't want to get in any debt at all ever, okay? And even if it's a minimum wage job, if you can learn something that can make you money on your own from that job, go to it. Because, like, in college, you're going to pay a lot of money to learn some skills, and it's not really hands-on. But if you can go work, even for $10 an hour, learn all the skills that you can. As soon as you learn everything from that job, you quit and you move to the next one. Build yourself a skill set over 10, 20 years, and when you have it, you can work on word of mouth and Craigslist alone. That's how I do it. I make decent money. I have no debt. I don't pay the IRS a damn thing, and I never will. And I'm in a good position because of the knowledge that I know. So this is another option versus going to college. Get the skills. You're getting paid to get the skills while you're doing it. And once you have acquired and perfected these skills, you can easily survive what's going on in the economy until it completely crashes.
Oh, yeah, I have to agree with you. You know, my sons, that's what they've done. You know, my son, Chris, he'd went for diesel mechanics and it was just a sham. The whole thing was a sham, but he's very intelligent and he got into the computers. And then, so he decided he would start welding, and he learned welding. And then he started learning other, jobs in the shop he was working at. And then, you know, finally he got to where he was watching everything, how it worked. And, you know, the top of the line was, you know, you're doing the designing. So he got the programming for designing and he learned the programming and now he designs. And I mean, he's doing very well. And again, any skill set that you can put together, you're right. You grab that skill set because when shit meets the fan, it's going to come down to what you know. People aren't going to care about your, you can show them your degree and they'll look at it and go, impressive, but it isn't producing anything. You got to be a producer because right now this country's in a terrible shape and they have absolutely on purpose, tried to destroy our economic base, which is our manufacturing. They've tried to remove the skill from this country. When you look at who was culled in 2008 after the so-called derivatives bubble, these were the tops in their fields. These were the people who should have been teaching the next generation the skills to keep up the manufacturing in this country, but that wasn't the idea. The idea was to remove the manufacturing out of this country because it was too costly to the thieves who wanted to, they want our natural resources and they want them for frickin' nothing. They want our gold, our silver, our copper, our iron. They want it all for nothing for them because they have, well, they put forth the notion that they are the chosen ones and that the rest of us are just human cattle and that it is their right to use us and abuse us until they don't need us anymore. And then as they've shown in many countries over the years, then take us out to a pit and exterminate us, cull the herds the old Irish way or the old communist way anyway. Supreme Court. Go ahead.
That's a great idea, Frank. I'm going to put an ad on Craigslist for joke writer.
Oh, man.
I used to work at a comedy club. It was kind of fun, actually.
Oh, man. I've never worked at a comedy club. I could never find not funny. But Flea is pretty funny, I got to tell you that. Supreme Court, there's no hate speech exception to the First Amendment. And this is from Powerline. It was sent in by Gray Rider for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. The Supreme Court ruled Monday that the government cannot deny full trademark protection to allegedly radical, offensive trademarks. And I've noticed that the Supreme Court had just, people have realized that, this is a group of internationalists who are destroying our rights. They've destroyed the documentation of our rights. Our rights will never cease to exist. But, they're trying to act like, trying to give it legitimacy, just like the rest of this con game, this occupation. And so, they come out with this First Amendment argument, which, this is like, duh. Yeah, I know you can't. Of course you can't. And but the Supreme Court, the rulings that they give, they're not rulings. These are opinions. That's all the Supreme Court can offer to the government, which would be their proper role. And if the government decided to come up with something, if I'm out here in our people's world, in a Freeman world, in what's the word I'm looking for here? Living under the common law, in the common law jurisdiction, I don't give a shit what I want. I want to call myself Dead Fag Ale, and I want to make some beer and call it Dead Fag Ale, and I want to sell it in the first place. The government can't even enter into the discussion of whether I sell Dead Fag Ale, and there's nobody else that can because they can't show a damage. But if the government just thought that under the guise of commerce or the guise of for the public good that they were going to, start saying, in the government, we're not going to use anything like, fag L, then the Supreme Court would give an opinion and tell them, you don't want to do that because that would be a violation of the people's first article. And you go and you mess with one of these people who has some of that fag L, and they're going to take and they're going to remove you from your protection within the administration of the government, and they're going to pull you into a common law court, and they're going to own everything that you own. They're going to take it from you. That's what the Supreme Court was there, was to protect the government from we the people taking everything that an individual who was working for the government owned, because they were exercising a limited power, and they had to stay within that power. And if they stepped outside of that power, acting under color of law, they were open as individuals to the violations they were committing against their fellow Americans. And so, again, we're going to look at it. We're going to try to buzz through what I got left here. But, of course, yeah, this is a duh. And this is, again, trying to give credibility back to that which has none. Sanctuary cities protecting MS-13 gang members from deportation, says ICE. And, of course, they are. And, this is where with the 180 turnaround, the way things are supposed to be as opposed to the way they are, the government, the federal government, it would be within their jurisdiction to guard our borders. That's one of the few powers we gave them. That is their military power, is to guard our sovereignty. And the fact that these local municipalities are trying to play some game in between the common law, which they do not control because it belongs to the people, and then with the statutory controls with the federal government back and forth with the states, it's a duh. Of course, when you get caught, when you get picked up anywhere in this country and you have no documented paperwork to be here, then you are an invader by definition. I mean, what the hell, where do you draw the lines when they come with, when they're shooting guns at you? If you have an army invasion, they just leave their guns and wait till they get over here to get some more guns. Did they invade you? Again, this is a duh. Of course they're protecting them, because the idea here is they want a nationwide, gun violence epidemic so that they can, pass legislation to come for your guns.
Yeah, MS-13 is a government-financed local terrorist group. You might as well just call them ISIS.
That's what I was going to say, just like ISIS, and you're absolutely correct. Well, guys, we're up at the top of the hour. We will be back on Monday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, I mean, I guess keep reading these funny books that they are putting out as mainstream news, and just sit there, well, yeah, some of the things are, duh, yeah, we understand it. We understand exactly what you're doing, and you're not gonna reverse 100 years of tyranny with a few slides of hand. And that is The Word from the Trenches.
Man above, I have done all I can do.
Cookies!